Much grace and mercy be unto you. Amen. God's holy word, which formed the anchor for my remarks here this morning, is recorded in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you should show forth the wonderful works of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In Christ Jesus, our precious Savior and Lord, beloved friends, and in particular, the members of the faculty of Concordia Seminary here, and most especially, the persons who are assigned to their first position as a full-time professional servant of the church, and to those who are given an assignment for a year of work to prepare them better for later on. There isn't much time to say what a person would like to say on an occasion such as this. There is so much that the Word of God says to us, and particularly about the work that is done by such who have dedicated their lives to become ministers to God's people. And there are so many things to think about in regard to the people who have made possible this great day, when God indicates to you who are being assigned to work in the church, special work, where He wants you to serve and what He wants you to do. There are many people who have an investment in you. There are, for example, your parents, who in exceptional cases, perhaps this is not true, but who, generally speaking, have done what they might do in order that you come to this day, when having come through a system of education, you are ready to be assigned to the work of the ministry. Then there is your congregation from which you come. And this congregation has a great investment in you. Perhaps the congregation did not assist you financially in your tour of education, but the congregation provided a pastor in most instances. And again, except for rare exceptions, who poured upon you the water of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost thereby shed upon abundantly on us through Jesus Christ. Then there was this congregation which, if the pastor had gone on before the day of your confirmation, had one again that would lay his hand of blessing upon you. Then there are others, namely members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who have a great investment in you. Again, perhaps not by giving you financial aid to come to this time, but by providing facilities and instructors and professors and all that goes in between facilities and instruction to make it possible for you to come here. These are great investments. But there's another investment that simply beggars the description by human words. There is an investment in you and in all of us, thank our God, which is so priceless that no man can explain it or describe it really. This investment is the one that was made by the triune God when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was designated to come into the world and to become like unto you and me, to be found in fashion as a man, and found in fashion as a man, became obedient unto the death upon the cross. The same who was raised again for the justification of all of us. This is the investment that is in you, my friends, and you will not forget it, I know. And you will not forget this day either, that I'm sure of. For it's to this day that you have looked perhaps with more anticipation and with more eagerness than to any other day in your life. This is the day, then, when we ought to sing our praises to God for the blessings He bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to come out of the darkness of sin, death, devil, and hell, and to be translated into His wonderful, marvelous life. This is the thought I'd like to leave with you, namely that you should declare the works of Him who called you out of darkness into His light. Declaring the wonderful works of God. I pray God the Holy Spirit to be with me so that the words might have meaning for you. And I pray God's Holy Spirit upon you so that these words may, feebly spoken though they may be, have an effect and a meaning. Particularly for you who go out under the assignment of the Board of Assignments of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And who are you? Who are you indeed? The words of the text indicate it. They say it. They say it to you, and they say it to me, and they say it for our assurance, for much comfort in whatever situation we might find ourselves. I cannot spend much time upon the thought as to whether or no this letter was written in anticipation of suffering that should come to the Christians of the time when the letter was written, or whether they were written after some persecutions had taken place. Let this be as it may, and let people become concerned about this if it is of some worth to them. But let us center our attention upon the fact that this word is something that had meaning for the Christians then, pure meaning. And we think of some other years as we span a great time and come to about 1839 and 40 and 41. And find people asking, I wonder whether we should have come this way or not. Even as the Christians of the early days might have asked, shouldn't we have stayed on the old way? Was it right to pick the new way? Or in the case of our fathers, should we have come here at all? And are we indeed God's people in this? And the words of the text are sure. They say to you, as they have said to me and all of the people round about us, they say to you, my young friend, you are a chosen race. You are God's choice. You are God's selection. You are God's picking. There's nothing about the worth that is in you. Nothing about what you did. Nothing about what you accomplished or I accomplished or anybody else. There's nothing here about the worth that is seen in us. Only this, that we are the chosen of the Lord. As the apostle indicates very early in this letter, chosen of the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, made obedient to Jesus through His blood. So you are God's chosen race. You are God's chosen people. You are His royal priest to carry out the things that God would want His priests to do. In your case, those assigned to be pastors to proclaim the word and to administer the sacrament. To all of you to testify and to live the message of Jesus. You are a holy nation. Oh, indeed. Can this be right? The text can't be right, can it? When the apostle Paul says that you were dead in trespasses and sins, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, stranger and foreigner, the text right? Oh, yes, it's right. You who were dead in trespasses and sins have been quickened. You who were aliens, foreigners, and strangers are no longer that. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Holy, yes, holy. Holy through the shed blood of Jesus. Through that priceless price that was paid when the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world paid with His precious blood upon Calvary's cross for our sins. So that the judge looked upon us only in the cloth in which we are clothed which is the righteousness of Jesus, complete and perfect. And he says, you are guiltless, you are without any condemnation, you are not to be judged as being guilty. Holy nation, yes. And for what? That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the thing we're to do. That is the thing all Christians are to do. And those of us assigned to permanent work in this profession, used in the good sense, we are by all means to proclaim the wonderful works of him who called us out of darkness. Let's never forget it. Out of the darkness of sin, death, devil, hell, and damnation, he called us out and translated us. His marvelous work to accomplish this, that's what we are to proclaim. If I were to suggest one simple book for you to read and to be guided by, aside from the Bible and the great confessions of the church, I would call to a recent translation of Ernst Kinder's What Does It Really Mean to Be Evangelical? Namely, to be shaped by the gospel and attuned to it. And that the message that we bring is this message. And if there's anything I can say to you from my own experience, it is this, that if you are faithful in proclaiming the message of the gospel, other things will follow that should follow it, and you will have the wonderful, wonderful help of the people of God whom you are called to serve. Proclaiming the wonderful works of God starts in our own family, in our own community. The people whom we meet, oh, let's not be overcome by the statement, I don't like to be making calls. Oh, this is what we should be doing day in and day out in one way or another to proclaim to the individual and then the people who gather the wonderful works of God, the works of Jesus done for us at the behest of his Father and under the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. The triune God is always involved in all that we do. Need I say any more to you? Or is there anything else that I could really say? But that we remember that Jesus is our hope, that he is the center for all of our work, and that we remember with Martin Luther, the great reformer by the grace of God, that Paul speaks magnificent words of comfort in saying, therefore, being justified by faith, we are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access into this grace wherein we stand and live in the hope of the glory of God. God bless you now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.